Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Our number 1-800-795-9565 in the Lenape Solar Hotline. We'll get to Bob and Higgins here in just seconds, who's been waiting through the news. Today's show brought to you by the birthday boy, Rick Weibel, at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Not only call and wish him happy birthday at 800-609-9484, but also deal with him. He's incredible to deal with. You can always visit online at REWfinancial.com and, of course, on the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motor Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bob and Higgins, thank you, Bob. Appreciate your patience. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well, Bob. Thank you for waiting.
Hey, no problem. So what's up? I was just going to call and ask about making a request.
Sure, you can make a request.
Okay, hey, who sings that one song called Shake It? It was back in the 70s.
Who sings Shake It in the 70s?
Yeah, it was a band called, it was like a disco band or...
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a disco band.
I don't know. I just like the rock and roll. Hey, that's why they call me Crazy B. I'm always doing stupid shit like calling you guys
okay.
up.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Well, it was Metro Station, Bob, that performed Shake It. How about that? Yeah, thanks, Bob. But it was Metro Station that performed Shake It. All right, thanks. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. I'd like to jump in with any question you can, and we'll talk sports with you. Michael Phelps, big day today as he won gold in the pool, but wasn't the only one today. Tyler Cleary won gold in the pool today as well. He beat Ryan Lochte. In fact, he hunted Lochte down and beat him in the backstroke down the stretch. I mean, Lochte is not having the Olympiad he had hoped for. And Rebecca Soni set the world record again and won the breaststroke in the 200. Gabby Douglas won the all-around today for her second gold medal of the Games to go with the team gold medal. And it's the third consecutive Olympiad that the United States has won the all-around in women's gymnastics. And there was also a gold today in judo for the United States. And this is going to throw Matt Lauer way off. Kayla Harrison won the judo gold medal, the first judo gold medal in Olympics history for the United States.
Jeff in Selinsgrove is ecstatic right now.
I'm sure. But yeah, judo's in. She's 22 years old from Middletown, Ohio, and I've been in Middletown, Ohio. As a matter of fact, stayed there when Penn State played Dayton in the NIT. Lives in suburban Boston now, and she was able to win the judo gold medal. And she's overcome a lot to win gold. Went public with her story of sexual abuse by her former coach. Daniel Doyle is currently serving a 10-year federal prison sentence after pleading guilty in 2007. And she went public with that story. And she has come all the way back from that. But she won, and it's the second U.S. medal in judo this week. Marty Malloy won a bronze in the women's 57-kilogram division. She was ranked number 4 in the world and was in top form. So, tremendous. Kayla Harrison winning the judo gold medal today. Congratulations to her. Look, every medal, precious one. Now she's going to be taxed on it, but it's still very precious. But let's get to the price of winning. I found this story to be off the charts stunning. Okay? Stunning. Now, the financial part of it, okay, I understand. If you're, you know, if you're getting money, then I understand that. Allison Schmidt swam a dazzling final leg to lead the U.S. to a gold medal in the 4x200 freestyle relay on Wednesday. Congratulations, Allison. You now owe the IRS $26,779. That's what she gets for winning two golds, a silver, and a bronze medal at the Olympics. It takes years of training and sacrifice to get to win one for your country, and this is how your country says thank you very much. Doesn't exactly make you proud, does it? With the tax fairness, of course, issue being a big election issue, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, since a political opening, or maybe it's just overcome by Olympic spirit, he introduced a bill yesterday that would eliminate the tax American athletes must pay for their work in London. This all comes about the Tax Reform Foundation, which released a simple study on the tax implications of Olympic success. They decided to do something like that, and all of a sudden people realize, you're kidding me. The USOC awards athletes $25,000 for each gold medal. They give you a $15,000 bonus for a silver and a $10,000 bonus for a bronze. Okay, that's the financial part of it. And let's face it, you get bonuses like that. It's like you get a bonus at work, you get taxed on it, correct? Correct. But here's the part where suddenly it goes into the area of the sublime. The value of the metal in the metal is also taxed. You have to be kidding me. At current commodities prices, a gold is worth $675, a silver $385, a bronze less than $5. At the top income rate of 35%, that means a gold medalist will owe Uncle Sam $8,896. Each silver means a $5,385 bill, and each bronze means you have to pay taxes up to $3,502. Imagine what Michael Phelps' bill is.
He wins a couple of more gold medals, and we won't have a deficit anymore.
Swam 50 miles a week to get to the top of the medal stand, and then he's told, hey, look, fork over some dough. I mean, the medal, you get taxed on the price of the medal. Are you kidding me? It makes you want to become a badminton player. I mean, it's unbelievable. You get taxed on the medal that you win? I don't mean the cash. I get the cash part. I mean, you're working, you do a job, they hand you $5,000, you have to declare it, you pay a tax on it. Okay. But they actually tax the medal you win because of the weight of it and the value of it. Are you kidding me? Well, Bob in Milton is with us. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Hey, I just wanted to ask you, I don't get a chance to hear that much of you, but the Silas Red situation with this Lane Kiffin, I tell you, I think this guy is personally a bum to come clear across the country when all the other Big Ten coaches realized the situation that was handed down by the NCAA was wrong. And this guy jumps on a plane and comes out here and gets our best running back. What's your thoughts on a coach and other coaches that would run into him as far as the respect they have for somebody that would do something like that? And when he has plenty of talent at his disposal now.
Well, of course, he's been operating with 75 scholarships because of USC's probation from the Pete Carroll era. But to answer your question, Bob, every coach goes through recruiting, and then they assess their football team after the first Wednesday in February because that's what they've recruited. Mm-hmm. And then they go through spring practice, and they assess their football team because that's the team they have. If you have to run out and openly recruit somebody else's players on the last week of July, your program isn't that good.
Yeah, and that's
you haven't done a good enough job.
No, and that's what I can't understand. When he was coaching for the Raiders, the record they have, and more or less was kicked out of there by Davis, and then he got, I'm pretty sure he got the Tennessee job, and he was there. And I think he ran out of the back door when the USC job came open and, you know, left them without a coach. I don't even – did he even coach Tennessee for a year?
Coach Tennessee for 1 year, yeah.
Yeah, and then he ran out the back door when USC coach came up. And to me, he's just – I just can't wait to Penn State plays him, and I just hope they put the wood to him, because I don't think he's a respectable person. You know, and in the coaching field, you know, you would think, and with kids, how does he treat his kids if that's, you know, and stuff like that, the way he is, you know,
what he's doing is he's treating college football like a business.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the hypocrisy of the NCAA to have the president of the NCAA get up there and talk about the football culture at Penn State, his words, and then to allow a meat market to happen on Penn State's campus to allow everybody else to try and go after players is as hypocritical as anything I have seen in college sports.
Is there any chance, I mean, with all the uproar with the kids and the media and everything else, is there any chance that these sanctions could go away? I mean, maybe not this year, but maybe NCAA would look at it, or somebody else would look at it and say, hey, look, you know, this is, we might have went overboard with this, or is this just signed, sealed, and a done deal?
Bob, that's a good question. I would say at the moment, signed, sealed, and done deal, because of the way it's played out. And I know this is happens to be the 91st anniversary of the 8 Chicago White Sox players all being found not guilty in the Black Sox scandal in a court of law. And they were never reinstated to baseball, and they were never allowed, including Shoeless Joe Jackson, to be elected to baseball's Hall of Fame, even though in a court of law they were acquitted. And the part that has bothered me most about what the NCAA has done in this is that I go back to the fact that when you have an alleged perpetrator, a retired employee who's actually employed by an outside entity, goes through this and is alleged to be a perpetrator. Okay. Now, the perpetrator, the alleged perpetrator, should go through a fair but speedy trial. And if a jury of his or her peers happens to say guilty, then you remove the alleged perpetrator, now found guilty to be the perpetrator, off the streets, and society is safer. The second part of it, where you're trying to find out who knew what, when, and why, and how it was handled, you can take your time on that, because the people you are investigating are in no way a threat to society. So you can take your time and get the answers and the context as to why something was done, how it was done, and maybe it matches up where you're disgusted with how it was handled, or you may find out that there are answers that make you sit back and say, oh, I think I understand why now. You can take your time in that part, and the NCAA, by the way, as far as I'm concerned, was afforded the time to look into that on their own if they wished, and they didn't. And they just handed it down, and I think the part about the free agency for the players is the part that drives home to me that there's something really not quite right about how this was put together.
Well, and it's true, and they actually, what they did is they got into the personal end. I mean, if all these kids and all the staff would ever run into trouble, I mean, anywhere, in any college, just like I know it was brought up on TV, the Duke player, there was a male Duke player and a female Duke player, and he murdered the girl.
University of Virginia.
You're right.
University of Virginia.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Virginia. Nothing was investigated there that we know of that the college could have intervened and stopped it, or was things going on during college grounds. And you know, they've got into the personal line. There was no, as far as I understand it, there was no football violations made by this.
No, and there aren't.
And they overstepped their bounds to say, okay, now you're going to take every coach that's ever played the game or coached the game for any college, and you're going to say, okay, he's got to keep a clean bill of slate, or we're going to come back, we're going to give you sanctions. Or are they not now? Is this just one thing because they hammered Penn State over this? Because possibly there's people that, you know, like you said, that, you know, nobody likes, there's a lot of people out there that don't like a team that has a winning record, and Joe's tender of over 30-some years. They probably get, you know, tired of hearing that, and they probably just figured, hey, here's a team we can just show everybody they're not as above the law as what they think, you know.
Well, they put former Senator George Mitchell on the ground to check on NCAA compliance over each of the next 4 years of this. They should have put him on the ground to help make sure that rules were being followed when it came to the recruitment of current Penn State players, but that wasn't very important to the NCAA.
No. And Corbett. I mean, now even in the paper now, they're checking out Corbett. Did he? They're bringing up issues now with him. Why didn't he bring charges up at the time? It's not like nobody knew about this. That's what gets me. There was a lot of people in law enforcement that...
Well, Bob, when it comes to this, Bob, there's still two more trials to take place. Uh-huh. It is my hope that within the trials, one way or the other, that the huge gaps that we know exist in the report, because they could not interview, and Director Free was very honest at the beginning. He said, look, I could not interview Tim Curley, I could not interview Gary Schultz, and, of course, Joe got sick and subsequently passed away.
Right, right.
I'm hoping that we get at least some answers and a context, and then all of us can make judgment once we get the context from the individuals that were directly involved so that we can then get a better feel as to what and why. And I think it's unfair to judge until we have that side of the story. Once we get that side of the story, we may all sit back and feel angry, or we may sit back and say, oh, okay, I got it. And I think that's the part that bothers me. This is the part you can take your time with. And for some reason, there was a rush by the NCAA to just swoop in and show a particular toughness. And, you know, and it's going to continue because, I mean, Vicky Trepanier is going to be on Outside the Lines on Sunday, and there are certain questions that should be asked that won't be asked.
Well, and then there's the other factor of the law. I know you say about a speedy trial, which is good, I'm sure.
I said, but fair.
But fair, right. A speedy trial and fair. And, boy, there's people that I – not people I know, but you see hear people on the news that they're just going to trial after some 2 and 3 years of things that they've done, even murder. And it seemed like, you know, Mr. Sandusky, it's like, let's get him through here. Let's get him through, actually, I think, and get this pushed through. You know, maybe even before the football season starts, because if he is found guilty, we can do these sanctions before the season starts.
Well, I don't think the legal system was working hand in hand with the NCAA on this.
Well, here again, we don't know when, you know, with Corbett and all these other guys, and you know, who there was a lot of people. I think that he was brought up. It was known that he was doing improper things. From what I understand, he was coaching a team close in Mill Hall, I think, or someplace, and they left him go. And nobody knew.
Well, actually, that's what started it, Bob. That's what I think what brought it to light, because that's the first I had heard of it, was an incident at Central Mountain Junior High School, I think.
Right. Yeah, Central Mountain Junior High School. Because I have a friend at work that had his boy up there, and all of a sudden he was there one time and gone, and everybody asked, well, where's Sandusky? Well, you know, it was like he didn't talk about that. Nobody talked about where he went or why he went, you know.
Right.
Do you go back in that school? Did he do something improper there and nobody reported? They just left him go?
No, that was victim one.
Was it? Okay.
That was victim one, if I do recall my chronology correct. I believe that was victim one. And then part of this, too, about the trial was to convince the victims to relive their pain on the witness stand. And right. To do it in a speedy, you know, you have to remember part of the, you know, when you're talking about a speedy trial, but fair, the victims have already been through a living hell to begin with. And then, of course, to get up and retell their story. None of us would want to get up and tell that kind of story, but they did. And to do it all at once like that and to get it off of their, at least get that part off their plate because they've lived with it so long. Part of fair and speedy also is fair and speedy to the victim.
Well, back to what I called about Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin is obviously a guy. Somebody asked me what his greatest accomplishment is. I said getting the USC job. So,
I mean, that's what he's
accomplished in his career.
Yeah, I don't know why he's so sought after. You know what I mean? His tenure in the NFL wasn't nothing to make a. You know, to make a resume over, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Tennessee and then USC, it's like, what does this guy have? And then last year, I forget their record was last year, but I think they had a winning record, but they didn't impress me.
They were very good last year because they would have won the Pac-12 South and they would have played Oregon for the Pac-12 championship, but they were ineligible for it last year because of the sanctions of the Pete Carroll era.
Yeah.
They beat Oregon last year. They're a good football team, and they have a heck of a quarterback in Matt Barkley, which was a great kid for him to inherit. And then, look, Silas Redd will do well out there. He'll make them a better football team. There's no doubt about that. And they're on track this year to be back in a bowl game. In fact, they would, along with Oregon, would be the co-favorites to win the Pac-12. I mean, I'm not saying the guy can't coach, but, I mean, to get six coaches on a plane, fly into White Plains, drive over to Stanford, do this PowerPoint, the whole thing, oh, for crying out loud!
While you're saying to Coach Bill O'Brien, I understand everything that's going on with you.
Go to war with the guys you have.
All right,
really. I don't get that. You know, look, when Danny O'Brien visited Penn State, I said straight out on this show that I don't like the rule of graduating being able to play right away. I've said that the entire time. You transfer anywhere, you have to sit out.
Right. Correct, yeah. Because you know the playbook. Don't tell me those kids haven't seen the playbook and know what they're going to run. You know,
they know the playbook.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be, you know, one or two, you know yourself, one or two plays can win or lose a game. You know, that's where you only had so many possessions with football. And, 7 points, if you know how your defense is going to get set up or anything, and that's why they make them sit out a year, you know.
Oh, well, exactly. And in the Big Ten, it's tight because, let's face it, you can transfer from one Big Ten school to the other. You have the playbook.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. Well, I'll let you go. That's what I wanted to call about. I'm not a Lane Kiffin fan, never will be. And just when you have all the other coaches falling in line and then you get this guy coming from and all the way from the East Coast, like you said, getting on the jet saying, hey, we'll go after their best ball player, really, you know, their best running back and see if we can get him. That just is absurd to me. It's just I don't think he has a lot of friends in the coaching staff. But thanks for taking my call, Steve.
We'll mark you down as anti-Lane Kiffin. Thanks so much, Bob. News is next with Sarah on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Rick Weibel, happy birthday, my friend. Rick Weibel's our sponsor today at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. You can call Rick anytime at 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Absolute class act and someone who knows his business very, very well. Beautiful Sunbury Motors studio on this fine Thursday. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline is open, as always, at 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565, and that Lenape Solar Hotline has been heating up more and more the last few weeks. Michael Phelps wins gold today. Individual gold. No relay gold this time. An individual gold for him. As he held off Ryan Lochte, 20th medal. Meanwhile, a big day for Travis Clary in the pool. In the backstroke, he rallied and beat Lochte. So Tyler Clary wins the gold in the backstroke. Rebecca Soni, second straight day world record. This time it equals a gold medal. Her other world record was in the semifinal. Gabby Douglas wins today the all-around title. Second gold medal of the games go with the team gold, but she wins the all-around. So a fabulous day for her as well and for the United States. And a big moment for her. Allie finished fourth, by the way.
That's an outrage.
Didn't see it. Can't judge it. And I'll find out tonight if it's an outrage or not. You saw it, though, right?
I've not seen it. I saw the recap. Okay. What happened was she finished tied for fourth, and they went to...
Tied for third.
And they went to a tie-breaking criteria.
Right.
That's the part that's an outrage. If they tied for a medal, just give the other medal.
Just give two bronzes. Come on. And Kayla Harrison won the first judo gold medal in Olympic history for the United States. So fabulous what she accomplished today. She's overcome a lot in her life to get here. So congratulations to her. Baseball today, the Reds stay scorching hot. They beat San Diego 9-4. The Mets lead the Giants 5-0 end of 3. Phillies play at Washington tonight. Miami's at Atlanta. St. Louis at Colorado. American League coming up tonight. It'll be Minnesota at Fenway against the Red Sox. Angels at Texas. Cleveland at Kansas City. Toronto at Oakland. And the Lerner family is going to sell the Cleveland Browns for over $1 billion. If the Browns are worth $1 billion, what are the Giants worth?
I was just thinking, not exactly those words, but I'm like, $1 billion? They're worth that much?
It's an NFL team.
Wow.
It is an NFL team. Jimmy Haslam is the one that bought them.
I mean, talk about the same division. What would the Steelers be worth then?
Haslam takes controlling interest of the Browns for over $700 million. Then in the second phase of the purchase, he will pay over $300 million to complete the deal. So, here's a guy that put together truck stops all over the country. And when you see pilot flying Jays, that's Jimmy Haslam.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
There's one out there in Milton.
Mm-hmm. There's one out in Milton. There's one in Lamar. So, he's the owner of them. Lerner family, of course, had the Browns since 99. Al Lerner passed away. Randy Lerner has been the one running them. He inherited the team in 2002. So let's see what he wants to do now. Haslam at one point was a minority investor in the Steelers. And now he's going to own the Cleveland Browns. Let's see what he does with it. Cleveland is a city aching to have a winner. They're aching to have a winner. They have a beautiful stadium. I've been to the stadium. It's gorgeous in Cleveland. Beautiful place. And, I mean, those fans are aching to have a winner. They just haven't, except for 1 year. When Kelly Holcomb was the quarterback, they made the playoffs. They lost to Pittsburgh. In fact, they really should have won that playoff game. But that's the only year they've been in the playoffs since they've been reincarnated.
Holcomb, if you got him.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Houston Texans. I mean, the Texans not only made the playoffs finally for the first time last year in their 10th year, but there are a lot of people think that they are a legitimate AFC championship game contender this year. You know, you got to remember, the Texans made the playoffs last year with their third team quarterback.
Hey, and looked too terrible.
Yeah, he game managed. He did fine. But he's not Matt Schaub.
No.
Matt Schaub, for goodness sakes, was the MVP of the Pro Bowl. I mean, that's a good-looking football team. Foster at tailback. I know Johnson has a slight groin pull right now, but Johnson's one of the top 10 wide receivers in the game. Foster's one of the top 10 running backs of the game, and Schaub's a really good high-level NFL quarterback.
And MVP of the Pro Bowl. That just sounds funny.
I know, but still, it tells you, though, that the guy gets in there and he can make some plays.
Legit.
I mean, number one, he made the Pro Bowl. Number two, he had a great night when they played. I believe it was in Miami when they played it. It was not Honolulu. But he's, in other words, he's better than T.J. Yates. So. Yeah, that's where they're going. That's where they're going. And we've had a lot of our comments today have all been on the Penn State situation. Dave in Sunbury, welcome, Dave. Nice to have you on the show at 1-800-795-9565. Welcome to the Lenape Solar Hotline, Dave.
Hello, Steve.
How are you, Dave?
Well, I wanted to get in on that Lane Kiffin deal. From the other day, what Milton said about what did he ever do? I said, well, he bounced around between the Raiders, Tennessee, married Miss Tennessee.
Well, I think that's an accomplishment.
That's not so bad.
Look, you have to give credit where credit's due sometimes, no matter how much you like a guy or dislike a guy.
Went over his skis. Well,
we all married above ourselves, Dave.
Well, I mean, he went. This is the full nine yards.
There you go.
Said, you know, his dad, as far as coaching.
Great coach.
And did he follow him out of Southern Cal, too?
Yes, he's with him at Southern California. In fact, he was one of the people he brought with him on the plane the Mercedes family gave him.
Well, I saw when Pat Hayden took over Southern Cal. Mm-hmm. It was going to straighten it out, but apparently not.
Well, yeah, I mean, is it within the rules what they did? Yes.
Yes.
Is it ethical? No.
Not by a long shot. That's the, you know, when if people tell you that they call and square it up with you. They said, you know, they said about Bill O'Brien, you know, everybody called him. No, they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, says, well, he just said, hey, give me a heads up. That's all. He didn't ask for, you know, a 27-page, you know, investigation, right? He just letting you know. And like I said, I called about those guys. The guy in the media of Illinois stood there and said he didn't send any coaches to Penn State. He right now that light through his teeth right there in the media that day.
I looked at the Illinois media guide today, and in the media guide they have not one but two chaplain listed. He needs both of them. All right,
I'll let you go.
Okay, Dave. Thanks. Lane Kiffin said on ESPN Radio on Colin Cowherd. I believe Cowherd might be on the USC payroll based on the show.
I think so.
Said, we looked through our situation, our roster, their situation, and it really was clear that there was only one guy that would really fit that we felt could come in and really help us, and that was Silas. So we reached out to his high school coach just to tell him, hey, if there's any interest, know that we would have a potential interest. It's a little bit different than calling Bill O'Brien. Of course, Kiffin also used the bully pulpit in the Pac-10 media day to really publicly solicit him.
Oh, that was a recruitment move right there.
Oh, sure it was. They lifted those restrictions to help coaches, really to help these players to have choices that they, if they wanted to. We picked up the phone in true SC fashion and called one of our great donors, Ted Jones from Fletcher Jones Mercedes. I called him, says we were at the Soho House for the Pac-12 dinner, and he said, let me guess, you're calling about Silas. Where are you at? So he sent his big old Mercedes jet, which was in Vegas, to pick us up in L.A. We got done with the Pac-12 meetings and flew, I don't know, what, to White Plains, New York? He says, yeah, I mean, and then, you know, then he starts talking about how they tried to fly in three other coaches, T. Martin couldn't make it, blah, 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 blah. You know, after a while, this is the culture that the NCAA lectured on all of us 10 days ago. This is the culture they had the gall to lecture us about. That's the culture? That's what they want to see? Are you kidding me? Something just smells rotten. I have done a lot of talking about moving forward, and I have been moving forward, and I have delivered a lot of messages along the way, as you know, in the last 10 days, because that's how I feel. But the one thing that has galled me in all this, in terms of the sanction part of it, is, number one, they don't have the full story yet from Tim Curley and Gary Schultz, and yet they made a ruling anyway. And then to talk about the football culture, reigning in the football culture and this, that, and the other thing, and they allow this to happen. And you can't tell me it's for the good of the student-athlete. What good has it been for the student-athlete? I don't see that part at all. I mean, the players have been under siege. Players actually stayed in the Lash building, for goodness sakes, because they didn't want to leave. I mean, is that what you want? They're getting unsolicited calls. I mean, coaches were waiting outside of classrooms, outside of apartments, and outside the Lash building. I mean, Emmert said, football will never again be placed ahead of educating, nurturing, and protecting young people.
Wrong.
He said it. Those are his words. Those are his words. So you think it's now acceptable in college football to wait outside the apartment, the football building, or a classroom of a player that's already with another program at the end of July or early August?
Well, you know what the NCAA has created here. It's called free agency.
Right.
Well, and I didn't think that was supposed to happen in college sports.
It's not. You're supposed to sit out a year. And I said this before about the recruitment of Russell Wilson, which was done completely legal by Wisconsin. The recruitment of Danny O'Brien, again, completely legal by Wisconsin. And Penn State, by the way, was a player for Danny O'Brien, right? But I said then that I didn't like the graduation rule and the immediate play rule. To me, if no matter what, you still have to sit out a year, in my opinion. And the same thing with this. The caveat would have been for me, you can sit out a year and, for example, so we know Anthony Fair is going, okay? Fair has 2 years of eligibility remaining. He's already redshirted a year, correct? I would let him sit out a year but still have 2 years of eligibility remaining, thus giving him a six-year clock. That would be the concession I would make.
But you know what the NCAA is going to say to that? They say, well, you know, you chastise us for punishing the players. Now this is our way of not punishing the players.
All the players that were harassed left and right were punished.
Well, I'm not defending the NCAA.
They didn't want to deal with this. The players did not want to deal with this. I mean, when they don't want to go out the building because they're being harassed by these jackasses who did such a lousy job in putting together their own programs that they have to go in the middle of July or late July to find and take somebody else's players and poach. if you'd done a good job with your own program, you'd sit there with your own complete security and say, hey, we're fine. You know, this suffered enough. Leave them alone. I would not, unless a program was put on the death penalty, then I would allow what's happened. Because then they would have no place to go. They had no place to play unless they were picked up by somebody else. But an existing program? There's a lot about this that stinks. And the other part, too, is that I think Penn State ought to commit itself to a journalism program that turns out people that actually look into things. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Congratulations! Now that you've gone to Sunbury Motors, that vehicle of your dreams is now a reality. To keep it running at its absolute best, you can rely on the experts at Sunbury Motors Service Department. They offer a wide range of car repairs and service updates, including general repairs and that all-important regular maintenance. If a factory recall is the issue, Sunbury Motors Service Department can handle them all, from all the major manufacturers like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. All warranty service and repair is done with the utmost care because they treat your vehicle just like it's their own. Whether you need an oil change, transmission service, brakes, or even engine repair, Sunbury Motor Company has you covered. From the smallest item all the way up to the largest, the service department at Sunbury Motor Company will do it all with the same attention to detail. Visit sunburymotors.com to use their handy schedule service to make your next appointment. Or call 888-536-8017. Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And on routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Welcome back. Tomorrow we'll talk with Guy Cipriano of the Center Daily Times. Guy, in his first year on the Penn State football beat, certainly has...
what a year.
Had quite an education.
Welcome to the beat.
Look, I think that Penn State will get through this. I really do. I have tremendous confidence in Bill O'Brien and his staff, and I also have tremendous confidence in what Bill Belton can bring to the table, Curtis Dukes, okay, Zach Zwinek. I have a lot of confidence in Sam Ficken and Alex Butterworth. I have a lot of confidence in the three starting linebackers already there, plus Mike Hall. You have Carson, you have Motti, you have Hodges, you add Mike Hall. Mike Yanchus is going to be back. Ben Klein's going to be a really good football player. I mean, these are the areas where Penn State's had losses, and I feel confident across the board that they can compensate for the losses. There are guys that are ready to play. I mean, is Bill Belton going to be Silas Red? No. But there are a couple things, like, in other words, as a running back, Red's a special running back. But Belton is a very good running back in his own right, and Belton's actually a better receiver out of the backfield. I mean, Red's probably a little bit better in blitz pickup than Belton, but you know what? Bill's a good player. Dukes is a good player. You lose Hapley? Look, they have tight ends. I mean, would all these guys have helped Penn State this year? No question about it. And in no way, shape, or form, as everyone has noticed on this program, in no shape or form have I said a single disparaging thing about players that have left. I have gone through with compliments on each one on what they brought to the table and also honestly told you some things that each one of them didn't bring to the table. It's called honest evaluation and analysis of somebody who's at practice every day. And now I brought to the table the pluses of the guys replacing them and also some of the things that those guys have to be better at to make themselves better all-around players. Same story. Being at practice every day has allowed me to at least give some sort of analysis to you, especially of players you may not know a lot about. Certain guys along the way in here, I mean, Tim Buckley's a walk-on player who's a nice complimentary player who could have helped on special teams and may have been second or third team. Is Ryan Kaiser a better player than Tim? Yes, he is. But Tim will go to NC State, and I think he'll contribute down there. Ryan Nowicki, he sat out all last year. I mean, he literally did zero all last year. I mean, I stepped out of the way of a couple tacklers. I did more. And I think he did some work in the spring, but he was fourth team. I had to look up who he was. Jameel Pollard, saw him at Live for Life. It's the only time I ever saw him. So, look, you know, I mean, are there losses? Yeah, I mean, Ford's a player. But Ford didn't do a good enough job of keeping himself in the lineup, had to be too perfect to keep himself in there. That's a negative. Positive, great athlete. Plays the run well. Improved against the pass. Thought he was having a great spring until he legitimately got a very tough knee injury. And happily, good player, not great. Good hands. Okay blocker. Kyle Carter was in front of him. Kyle Carter should have been in front of him. Red special player.
You know, Steve, I think it says a lot about Bill O'Brien and his coaching staff when a recruit that has made a verbal now comes in and says, well, we didn't come here to play a bowl game. And here's one that may not see a bowl game because or a postseason play because of the suspensions and so forth. But it doesn't seem to bother him. That says a lot.
You know the guy I look at and say it says a lot about? Two guys. Sam Ficken, Adrian Amos. You want to know why? Because they know the rest of their Penn State career they won't see a bowl game. They're both true sophomores. And you know what they decided to do? Stay. What does that tell you about them? And I'll tell you right now, what does it tell you about the fans? You're the best.